Hallelujah. We are continuing our series on true humility. True, genuine humility. Let's look at one of our foundation texts, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore, which means to beg, plead, beseech you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And you to do that with all humility. And gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Hallelujah. Amen. We're focusing really on the first two verses here. In particular, verse 2. And he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And what that will do, you'll be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We talked about that somewhat last week. This is not just in the body of Christ, but certainly that. But you can, by extension, apply this to marriages and relationships, whether it be in the workplace or relationships. Mm-hmm. And this is some wonderful insight as to how to prosper in relationships. Mm-hmm. And that must be done with the first ingredient, with all humility. We said last time that, as we were reading a comment from John Calvin, that the order is by design. The order is by design. He said, carefully observe the order and arrangement of these exhortations. And the order is, if you teach forbearance without understanding what is in our nature, because it's default that we defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's default, by default, that we defend ourselves rather vigorously. That's just default. That's in that sin nature. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit that He can subdue that vigor. And not only does He just subdue that, but then He gives us the spirit of meekness, for which I am forever grateful. Very thankful. And so we must begin with humility before we can move on to the other in that list of meekness or gentleness and so forth. Now, we talked last, I think we stopped here. In order to understand what true humility is, we're going to look at the opposite of what it's not. True humility, let's look at what it isn't. That said, let's take a look at false humility. False humility. I want to take a look at some characteristics and attitudes concerning false humility. False humility is to have a self-defeating mindset and poor self-image, evaluating oneself too negatively. For an example, I am a failure. I'm worthless. I can't do anything right. No one likes me. That's not real humility. Because God has created you in His image. And to belittle yourself in that way is to belittle what God has done. And, want to know the truth, at times, I'm not saying every time, but when people do that, they can use that as bait to actually catch the praises of others. For an example, oh, I can't do that. I ain't that smart. Oh, yes, you are. What are you talking about? You got better grades than me. She just kicks that right in. Sometimes it can actually be bait, dangled on the hook to actually get praise. We have to be careful with that. Another comment about false humility. False humility uses an humble tone of voice to sound or appear meek, gentle, and mild. In other words, it is used in order to convince others that they are humble. And so they'll say a tone, Gregory, good morning. Oh, good morning, Mr. Johnson. Humble tone, sound of meek. How's your mom? Oh, she's doing fine. I had her on my comment. Let someone disrespect you. That tone will change quickly. All that acting you're doing won't go sideways. Because by default, and I'm talking about, you have to be mature and full of the Holy Ghost and power, meditating the word day and night, because we will defend ourselves. Amen. Remember, this is Captain Obvious, humility is not found in the tone, it's found in the heart. Another comment about false humility. False humility believes that to have nothing to do with money or fame is the same thing as being humble. Newsflash. Yeah, you know, they reject fame. Oh, you know, no, don't do that. Don't make a big fuss about it. You know, that's an external act. Newsflash, this person lacks the understanding that pride comes from the heart, not from possessions. So if you have fame, if you have fortune, Lord has allowed that, that's the, having it or not having it, rejected or not, does not mean you're humble. Because humility is not in possessions. It's not in the rejection. Humility is in the heart. False humility is to humble yourself with the feeling that you are superior to others. You may give somebody something or do something for someone, but in your heart, you feel you're still superior. Again, humility is found in the heart, not in outward external acts. Someone once said, about themselves, I will admit that I am really bad at receiving compliments. See if you see yourself in this. I dismiss them even before the compliment is fully out of the person's mouth. That response can also look like humility. It is not. He says, and that's true. He goes on to say, I think the lie, L-I-E, behind false humility is that I think dismissing a compliment or encouragement makes me look humble. I can't even say thank you before I'm justifying why I am not that compliment. Oh, you're smart. Oh, I ain't smart. No, I don't know. Humility is not thinking less of yourselves. It's thinking of yourself less. I want to repeat that because I knew I was going to do a but oh, that's slick. That's cool. But do you? I want you to understand it. So the first half again says humility is not thinking less of yourself. Smarts, looks, or whatever it is, whatever it may be. That's not the issue. Oh, no, that ain't me. Rejecting compliments and so forth. That's not what it's that it's thinking of yourself less. It's in other words, it's what I call a 99th back burner mentality. We've been talking about that back burner for 20 years. So act like it's a 100 burner stove and you way in the back. That's what it is, thinking of yourself less. As a matter of fact, let's put it and let's go to the word too. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, put yourself on the back burner, yet way back. That's to think of yourself less. But Philippians is so beautiful, but from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the church at Philippi, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. It didn't even say equal to. Regard others as equally as important as yourself. No, more important. That's thinking, in order for you to pull that command off, you got to think of yourself less. More important. Husbands will do well to major in this command. Amen. We'll do well to major in it. Yeah. Just a quick side journey, very quickly. The wives, you need to know that you are number one on earth and number two only to Jesus. Jesus, say that again. Need to know, wives should know that they are number one on earth. There's nobody before your wife on earth. But overall, you're number two to Jesus. Regard one another. The first one another, if you're married, the first one another that you're to regard as more important than yourself is your wife. And husbands, we're the lead in that. We'll do well to major in this verse. Now, I'm believing the Holy Spirit had me to go on that side journey for a reason. So we're all listening. Are we not listening, husbands? Yes. Let's step it up. Let's step up. We can always do better. Some folks who exhibit false humility, they spend a lot of time telling others how humble they are. Well, you already know what the score is on that. Someone who is really humble is not even aware of their humility. They aren't absorbed with themselves at all. Why? Philippians 2 and 3, we just said, because they're so busy regarding one another as more important. What a phrase. Not equally as more important. In this society, that's a curse phrase. Are you kidding me? You got to look out for yourself and do for you and do you. It's time for a me day. I'm finna do me. I don't care who else get hurt while I'm doing me. So be it. Get out my way. You shouldn't have been around me while I'm doing me on my me day. That's not regarding, you're not in regarding a person even equal to you. You got to less than yourself because I'm more important. So this is the mindset of today's society. They are regarding themselves as more important than everyone else. And if we aren't careful and being fully led by of the Holy Ghost moment by moment, we'll do that ourselves. We will regard ourselves as more important than everyone else. And guess what will happen? If you're full of the Holy Ghost and being led, and you have a desire to be led moment by moment, he's going to speak to your heart, tell you, hey, there's something that looks sharp there. Amen. Yeah. Amen. No. My wife, she just see me through rose-colored glasses. I mean, them glasses got deep red, too. And it's the Lord to tell me, say, hey, that's a little sharp. You ain't got to... Baby, I'm sorry. Said, for what? I spoke a little. Oh, I ain't paying no mind to it. Whose standard is higher? God said. She done moved on down the line, but God said, no, I ain't like that. Tighten that up. Amen. Regard her as more important than yourself. If you do that, follow that command, you'll find yourself not being given so quickly to that default of defending yourself, being, you know, going on the offensive to protect yourself, because you know what, you regard them, you know, you're going to consider the other person a little stronger, kind of maybe figure out or try to think more about where they're coming from, be more empathetic, sympathetic, compassionate, because you're just not important. True humility is not absorbed with themselves. They are absorbed in regarding others as more important than them. So, Father, help us to get to that where we are just absorbed, saturated with the humility of mind that regards, notices others as more important than ourselves. Jesus' name. Is it safe to say another Captain Obvious statement? False humility has to be guarded against. We need to see it. Father God, show it to us. Because false humility, I mean, false humility desires to be seen and heard by men, mankind. False humility desires to be seen and heard by man. A falsely humble person, for the most part, has no regard to be seen and heard by God. The importance is being seen and heard by men. Let's look at that actually in the Word. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You know where I'm going. Let's look at false humility in action. What group am I about to talk about? You know it. You know it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. They are the quintessential false humility folks. Matthew 6 verse 1. Right off the rip. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. See that? To be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, a falsely humble person misses out on the rewards of God, because when they get the reward from man, then that's it. They have no reward from God. But notice again, practice seeing their righteousness before men to be noticed by them. That's a falsely humble person. They want to be seen and heard by men and rather than God. Verse 2, they're not through yet. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet when before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Look at this, in full. So you get nothing from God. That's it. What you've done, that's it. When they say, ooh, wow, great job of giving to the poor. And the Lord says, yep, that's it. That's all they're going to get. I've been giving them way much more than that. Because he said, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. When you give as unto the Lord, when you give to be seen by men, all you get is just a little bowl full of compliments. And that's it. Is that what it says? Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 1. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Because otherwise, meaning because the only reward you got a reward, but it was from men. Otherwise, if you didn't get that reward, you didn't get nothing from me. Because your intent was to be seen and heard by men. Verse 5, Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. And notice how the Lord Jesus keeps saying that phrase, truly, truly, I say to you, they had the reward in full. They get nothing else. Bless you. Get nothing else. Skip down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces. Why? That their fasting may be seen by others. Says it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Slide over to chapter 7, please. Chapter 7. Get verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, even doubled up. It's so fake love for the Lord. Because that in the Hebrew culture, that you double it, that's a sign of love. Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? Yeah, go back to chapter 6. What did they do? They gave to the poor. They practiced their righteousness. They stood in the corners, the street corners, and said their prayers. They fasted. They did many wonderful works. And then I will declare, listen to the and then. Why? Because they're doing their declaration. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and cast out demons and do mighty works? And then I will declare, it goes my declaration to your Lord, Lord, is my answer. I never knew you. What a scary and disturbing reality check compliment. Statement that is, I never means not for one moment in time have I ever known you. Depart from me, away with me, get out of my face, you workers of lawlessness. Some people argue and want to argue, well, did they really cast out demons? Do they did really do mighty works? It doesn't make a difference. Because what did he all put it up under? Lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So he's saying, whatever you did, it wasn't nothing that blessed me. It was sin. You workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. Slide over to Matthew 23. False humility in action. Matthew 23. Verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you," listen to that, "all that they tell you, do and observe." Whatever they tell you to do, do it and observe. But do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They broaden their phylacteries, the little boxes that hung on each side of the forehead. They've made them bigger. You put scriptures inside them. So the bigger the box, the holier they would appear to be. And lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor, the banquets, and the chief seats in the synagogues. And the respectful greeting in the marketplaces and being called rabbi. What? By men. Skip down to verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too, you Pharisees, outwardly appear righteous to men, there it is again, but inwardly, that's the area where God sees, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Look at Luke 16th chapter. Yep, going on and on for a reason. Luke 16. Lord, help us to locate if we're in any way a part of showing false humility. Look at verse 15. Check our spirits, check our hearts, check our minds. Show us that ugliness. Luke 16, 15. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, Pharisees, "You are those who justify yourselves." Listen to that. Our justification comes from where? God. The first step in salvation is justification. You justify yourselves in the sight of men, comma, but God knows your heart. Wow, if the people who say this all on social media and in casual conversation, if they really knew the root of what that is tied to, he's talking about hypocrisy, hypocritical living, where outwardly you're appearing to be righteous, appearing to be a holy person of God, but inwardly, that's not really true. And God knows what's really in your heart. That's what the verse is saying. We use it to justify ourselves. Well, I guess that was what they were trying to do there. Well, God knows my heart. What I'm really trying to say is, you got to be careful. Those who justify themselves in the sight of man, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men. This is one incredible portion, clause, and written in all of Holy Scripture. This is incredible. For that which is not just esteemed among men, but highly esteemed among men, is detestable in the sight of God. Not, it just, a little bit ain't okay in the sight of God. It's detestable in the Greek. Means a foul thing. It is abhorrent, repulsive, hateful, and disgusting in the sight of God. Yet it is highly esteemed by men. Boy, we don't ever need to be satisfied with the praises of other human beings. Can you see this? They may be highly esteeming you, highly exalting you, but in the eyes of God, it's foul, it's abhorrent, it's repulsive, it's hateful, and it's disgusting. Wow. Be very careful when folks are praising you. Jesus said, beware when all men praise you. Said, watch out. Highly esteemed among men. And that just lets you know they really don't know what they're talking about. Even if it's good. Highly esteemed. Highly esteemed. I can't get past that. I'm just, excuse me, but not just a little bit of esteem. No, that's kind of cool. But I mean, highly. Man looks at it as being a great, wonderful thing. Whatever attribute or act they're praising you about can be absolutely repulsive in the sight of God. Lord, help us to see through all of that. You know, the turn there, but this fits, you know, 1 Samuel 16:7. God sees not as man sees, but man sees the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He knows the heart. When man is praising you, is it safe to say 100% of the time? I'm going to say 100% of the time, but I'll say 99.99% of the time. When a human being is praising you, they're praising you based on what they externally are seeing you. Is that not safe? Well, I'm going to say 100% of the time, since man sees not as God sees, for man sees the outward appearance. So what they're seeing outwardly and esteeming you highly for can be the exact opposite of what's really in your heart. And that's why it can be detestable before God, because it's hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Captain Obvious, I know you know it, but boy, we need to hear it again. And put ourselves in that equation. How are we when we are receiving compliments and things like that? Are we actually honest with ourselves? Like, you know what? You're the nicest person in the world. And when you know you got major problem with anger, and because you cussed out 10 people on the way to the office, and when you got in there, you're the nicest person in the world. You need to say, honey, I'm not. I just cussed out 10 people before I got to you. And you had a donut and a coffee. That's the only why you didn't get it. Lord, help us to be real with ourselves. Because you do know our hearts. And not let man's compliments cloud what we are supposed to be actually doing, which is constant self-examination by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because recognize, when man is giving you these highly esteemed compliments, they are not seeing as God sees. Put those two together. They're not seeing as God sees. They cannot see as God sees. And they may be complimenting. A compliment can actually be can do more harm than good. Because a compliment, an ill-timed compliment can actually feed pride. Feed it. Rather than lessen it. So we need to pray to the Lord that when compliments are given, help us to compartmentalize those compliments and put them in the right space. In fact, we'll pray this, Father. We'll just submit all compliments to you and let you dole out how we should respond by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that we may bring you for real glory and honor in Jesus' name. John chapter 5, please. The Gospel of John chapter 5. Time is flying. Wow. The Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, look at verse 44. John 5:44. How can you believe, Jesus is asking, when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Remember this, my opening comment before we got into the false humility wants to be seen and heard by men. A falsely humble person, for the most part, has no regard for being seen and heard by God. Well, there's Jesus confirming that. You don't even seek it. You don't care whether or not God gives you praise and glory or not. You don't seek it. So I know chapter 12, 12th chapter of John, Gospel, verse 42. And here is an example of them valuing the praises of men more than the approval of God. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, talking about the Pharisees, believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Jesus for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, for they loved the approval and praises of men rather than the approval of God. This is the mindset and attitude of a falsely humble person. They love the approval. I don't know, first year, only this question is for the folks who was in our first year of Word of Life, 2020, that we were just a few months old. We talked about the approval addiction. Y'all remember that? Approval addiction. It's from an article in the Detroit News way back in 2000, rather. The approval addiction, even a secular newspaper recognizes how we are addicted to approval. Human beings, I'm talking about. So much so that we'll, if we don't watch ourselves, we'd rather be praised by men than by God. But if you were to ask the Christian that right out, I want God's approval. Of course, you know, they would say that because that's the right thing to say. But in their heart, got to be careful. We love the praises of men. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Verse 12, Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. You got it? Galatians 6 and 12. Go ahead. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh. What does the phrasing good showing in the flesh convey? An external act. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So he says, I'd rather just act a certain way and tell you to go ahead and be circumcised, because that was kind of the flavor there in at that time floating around. That's why Paul sent the letter there. They were old foolish Galatians chapter 3, who bewitched you, you know, into thinking about circumcision. So he says, just, we want to make a good showing outwardly so people won't bother us and we won't be persecuted. Verse 13, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, Paul is telling them. But they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh as well. Look what I got. All that is just external. I don't want persecution. I don't want no trouble. I don't want to be rejected. So let me just go ahead and just keep up the facade. Because the cross of Christ was a stumbling block. And to profess it would bring harassment, ridicule, scorn. That's something else we got to keep checking on ourselves. When we have that moment, whether or not I profess Christ as my Lord, knowing that I'm going to receive some backlash from family members, co-workers. Or do I Holy Ghost up, set a man up? Do I Holy Ghost up, stand firm, speak the truth, and let the chips fall where they may? False humility is a form of self-righteousness and is directly linked to pride. False humility is a form of self-righteousness and is directly linked to pride. Let me tell you why I say that. Because false humility is an act of humility. See that word? Act of humility. Rather than the true, as one person put it, heart-conditioned practice of humility. It's just an external act. So false humility is an act of humility. Right? An external action. Rather than the true heart-conditioned practice of it. Because real humility comes from the heart as a way of life, not external acts as a way of life to gain the approval of other folks. It's an act. False humility is an act of humility. By the way, that was the Pharisees' problem. They were content with how they were perceived by men rather than God. Everything with the Pharisees was external, if you will. Nothing was from the heart. If you think about it, that was the whole focus of the Sermon on the Mount, the quote-unquote Sermon on the Mount. You say externally, don't commit adultery. But I say unto you, you look on a woman to lust, has already committed adultery where? In the heart. You say, don't murder. But I say, if you're angry, where? In the heart. You say all these external things. Jesus took it indoors, inside, to the core of where those acts come from. That's why he was saying a few times throughout the Gospels, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the focus of our great Lord Jesus, Master, was to let them know that you need to pay attention to the heart and not be satisfied with pleasing men through external acts. Someone once said, people who operate in false humility take on the appearance and perform the actions characteristic of a humble person, but do not believe in being humble as a heart-conditioned decision. Say that again. False humility, they take on the appearance and perform the actions of characteristics of a humble person, but do not believe in being humble as a heart-conditioned decision. In a nutshell, if you will, false humility is a form of pretentiousness. We're going to close with this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy 3 and 5, and we're done. In a nutshell, it's a form of pretentiousness. And that's why in the church you'll find this. 2 Timothy 3, 5. Having the appearance of godliness, comma, but denying the actual power, period. And then the command, warning, avoid such people. Ouch. That's how much he doesn't like it. Remember, it's detestable, despicable in his eyes. Yeah. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That's certainly what the Pharisees did. We'll stop there. We'll pick up next time with what is true, genuine humility. This is what it is not. Real, true, genuine humility is not external acts that are designed to gain the praises of men, mankind. That's what it is not. We'll talk about what it is, Lord willing, but it'll be in 2 weeks yet. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for your word spoken this morning. Thank you for warning us, challenging us, warning us against false humility, challenging us to really examine with, by, through the power of the Holy Ghost, our inner selves, microscopically to seek out pride and any vestiges of it that would show itself in the form of false humility. Help us to not be regulated by the compliments of human beings. And I say it that way, Father, regulated, because sometimes we are moved. I mean, there's things you're doing through us and a person recognizes what you're doing through them and there may be a compliment. But help us to regulate it, if you will. Not necessarily reject it, no, because that can be a form of false humility. But just regulate it. Be thankful as unto you, because nothing we have that we did not first receive. Help us to be truly humble. Help us to walk with lowliness of mind in all humility. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.